Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see, to understand spiritual truth that can only be understood with the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that our carnal mind would be set aside, Lord, that we would be able to truly receive from your Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the truths of your word that set free. I thank you, Lord, for the great life that you have called us to. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would just take us on a step further in you and in your plan for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, what did you expect tonight? I don't know. But listen, we live in a world that teaches that we should keep our expectations low. That way, well, you won't be too disappointed. They say things like, don't get your hopes up. You know, that's dangerous. You get your hopes up, it could hurt you. Talked about that Sunday morning. Disappointment can be painful. You get your hopes up, well, you're just asking for disappointment. You know, the Bible talks a lot about hope. It doesn't use the word expectation too many times, but it does speak of hope a whole lot. And biblical hope is an anticipation, an expectation of desires and longings fulfilled. Listen, it's not a wish. That's the way the world uses the word hope. I hope it doesn't rain. I wish it wouldn't rain. But that's not biblical hope. No, biblical hope is about an expectation. It's a sure thing, something that you are counting on. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it is the substance of things hoped for. And I'm not going to teach on faith tonight. We're going to talk about expectation, but I want you to hear this now. Faith is the substance. It is the evidence. It's very, very real. It's the substance. But it's the substance of things hoped for. I'm telling you, you can't get the substance of it if you don't have the hope. It's the substance of things hoped for. You have to have that biblical expectation. Now, the beauty of low expectations, if you got low expectations, well, let me tell you the upside of low expectations. The beauty of low expectations is that you're rarely disappointed. I mean, if things turn out bad, then you get to have the satisfaction of knowing that you were right. And you get to even tell other people, see, I told you it was going to be bad. And if things turn out better than what you were expecting, well, hey, it's not as bad as I thought. So there's the upside to low expectations. But I got to tell you, that won't go very far. The problem is with low expectations, so often our low expectations skew our view of life. It taints everything. And we fail to see the goodness of the Lord that is all around us. You see, when we have low expectations, we end up looking for low expectations to be fulfilled. And we miss so many of the blessings that God has for us, good things that the Lord has for us. Not only that, but when we have those negative expectations, listen, it limits our faith. It keeps us from pursuing the vision, the plan that God has for us. I just want to remind you that faith is what pleases God, and faith is how we appropriate the promises of God. And when we have low expectations and we don't really have our hopes up, it limits our faith. If you have low expectations, I'm telling you, you're not going to see the vision, the plan that God has for you, because I can assure you His plan is not low expectations. Everybody has expectations. Sometimes we don't know what to expect. We just kind of take it as it comes. But whether we give any thought to something or not, I'm telling you, we have expectations in general about life. And I want you to realize that as a believer, you should always be expecting good. You should always be expecting blessings. We serve a blessing God. I mean, it's from cover to cover, from the first chapter to the last chapter, blessings. But you should always be expecting the Lord to answer your prayers. People that pray and don't expect God to answer their prayers, that's just some kind of weird man-made religion. Because if you read the Bible and you read the things that Jesus said about prayer, you would never pray prayers that you just don't expect God to answer. That's some kind of weird religious tradition and ritual, like we get points in heaven for praying this prayer, even though we know that God's never going to answer. Wrong. Vain repetition, like Jesus said, like the pagans do. People that worship false gods, and you start praying prayers you don't even expect God to answer, you're praying to a false god, because the God that we serve answers prayer. Now, James tells us that sometimes our prayers aren't answered. Well, the main reason is because we don't pray them. But the second reason is because we're praying for selfish things, selfish desires, instead of praying according to the will of God. We ought to always be expecting the Lord to answer our prayers. You know, a lot of Christians just expect the worst. They expect their bills to go up. They expect the gas to go up. They expect the government to take more money out of their check. And they expect, you know, if people are getting laid off at work, they expect to be one of them. They expect to get the flu. Yeah, whatever else is going around, they expect to be treated bad and expect things to go wrong. Low expectations. It comes from focusing on negative experiences of the past. It just kind of plays out like this. And listen, we all deal with this. Because even from the time we're children, we have expectations that are disappointed. And so we have a history. Most of us have an extensive history of hoping and expecting for certain things, and it didn't work out. And so because of that, we've learned it's just safer to have those low expectations. The result is fear. Fear undermines faith. And I want to say it again, faith is what pleases God. Faith is how we appropriate the promises of God. And that's why it's so important that we are expecting God's word to come to pass in our life. Now you notice I was very specific in how I worded that. We are not just expecting, we're not just like positive thinking. Oh, I'm expecting good. I'm thinking good, expecting good. You know, whatever I want in life, I'm expecting. That's not according to the scripture. I'm talking about when we get our expector lined up with the word of God, I'm telling you, then you got something that you can really believe, that you can have faith, the substance of things hoped for. But our expectation needs to be based on the Scripture, that His Word will come to pass in our life. See, when you focus on the past, it always ends up in fear. Let me give you this old example. I love this. One day in July, a farmer sitting on his front porch, and a stranger came by, and he says, "How's your cotton coming?" He said, "Ain't got none. Didn't plant none. Afraid of boll weevil." "How's your corn?" "Didn't plant none. Afraid of drought." "How about your potatoes?" "Ain't got none. Scared of tater bugs." Stranger finally said, "Well, what did you plant?" He said, "Nothing. I just played it safe." And I want to tell you something. A whole lot of Christians are living that way. They're just kind of here, sitting on the front porch, playing it safe, not believing God. They're just hanging on until Jesus comes. And I'm telling you, God has much more for us than that. Can't be looking at the past. Remember that time we had the boll weevils? Remember that time we had the tater bugs? Remember that time last year I got the flu? Yeah, last year and the year before that. I mean, you know, I was just expecting to get it this year. Things just go from bad to worse, so I'm going to keep expecting the same thing. Listen, positive expectation is cultivated by what you focus your thinking on. And when I say positive, I'm going to say it again. I'm not just talking about you coming up with some idea. I'm talking about based on the Word of God. But you can turn your negative expectations around and start being positive if you quit focusing on your past disappointments, and instead focus on God's Word and listen, the future. That, after all, is what expectation is all about. It's what you're expecting out there in the future. You can't determine your future just by looking at your past. Now, you ought to learn from your past. But if you're focusing on your past, it'll always hinder your faith and your direction to where God wants you to go. I want to remind you again what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before. But you got to change your focus. Now, Paul talks about changing your focus in a sense in 2 Corinthians 4:17. He says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, he says, I'm not just going to focus on these negative circumstances, but instead, I'm going to focus on eternal things. I'm going to look at something further down the road. Instead of just looking at the right here and the right now and this light affliction and the things that I'm going through. See, we like to think, oh, these problems that I have, it's so big, it's so heavy. But you see, he changed his focus. And all of a sudden, those burdens, those things weren't heavy. This light affliction, he says. But he was focused on eternal things. It's focused on eternal truths. And I'm telling you, when you get your eyes on the Word of God, it will change your expectations. I'm going to tell you, there's always a bright side. Did you know that when Thomas Edison was 67 years old, there was a great fire that burned down much of his laboratories in New Jersey, and he not only lost several million dollars of equipment, but he also lost his records to most of his life's work. But the next morning, he walks out among the charred embers and he said, "There is great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." And he turned that stumbling block into a stepping stone. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the time, it just depends on your focus and what you're looking at. He was looking at the future. See, a lot of people, they focus on all those mistakes, and somewhere along the way, they say, well, I ain't trying anymore. I'm glad that he didn't give up on making a light bulb, aren't you? He just kept trying again and again and again and again and again. But most people, they try, and they get disappointed, and they say, you know what? I don't want to be disappointed anymore. And they lower their expectations. But as a Christian, as a child of God, I'm telling you, we ought to have great expectations. Great expectations always look to the future, not to the past. Negative expectations are always rooted in past experience. Been prayed for this healing several times. Disappointed more each time. And eventually, they don't expect anymore. Let's consider an example, a simple example that all of us are very familiar with. Expecting is a commonly used word around here. In case you didn't know, there are a lot of ladies in this church that are expecting. And you might think that that is using the word quite differently, but in reality, it's not. They are expecting something. They're expecting that in a few months, they're going to have a child. And so we say, she's expecting. Expecting what? A baby. They're going to give birth to what they're expecting. What are you expecting? What if you were to give birth to what you were expecting? I know that all of us have had expectations that were not met, especially when our expectations have to do or are dependent upon other people. Those people can always let you down. Circumstances can take a negative turn. I'm telling you, we can even disappoint ourselves. You ever disappoint yourself? Daily, maybe. I can't tell you how many times I've just been disappointed when I got on the scales and they didn't go down. But disappointments come. And I don't want this message to be some pie in the sky thing where I'm telling you that you're not ever going to be disappointed. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that as a child of God, we need to have high expectations. Expectations that are worthy of the scripture, that line up with the word of God instead of thinking like the world. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 says, they are without hope, without God in the world. We're not without God and we're not without hope. So we should always have expectations, believing God, expecting God to do great things. Need to realize that when we get our expectations lined up with the word, listen, when our expectations are conceived by the word of God, they are not just some vain imagination, then they're a sure thing. They are as real as the baby in the womb of the woman who's expecting. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. How do you get born again? The incorruptible seed of the word of God. Born again. You see, it's not far-fetched to talk about a woman expecting and giving birth and then talk about spiritual things. We are born again. And how are we born again? Of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's not corruptible seed. It's incorruptible. It's really good seed. Listen to what the Lord says about his word, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing in which I sent. Listen, I'm just going to give you a few things tonight. Examples of how we need to be expecting according to the scripture. And I hope that if you are struggling in an area of your life to believe God, and you've been disappointed again and again and again, search the scripture and find a seed of the word on which you can base your hope, your faith, and your expectations. Not just on positive thinking or a man's idea or something that you wish, but a promise, a seed of the word. I am expecting things to get better. And that flies in the face of what you see and hear in the media, but it also flies in the face of what most Christians are saying. It's going from bad to worse. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, whatever that means. I am expecting things to get better. Oh, preacher, you can't just say that. You said that we had to base this on the word of God. Okay, Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I like it in the New American Standard. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I don't know about the world. It might get darker and darker, but I'm expecting my path to get brighter and brighter. I am righteous because he who knew no sin became sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous by faith. And his word says my path is getting brighter and brighter. Does that mean that you're never going to have any problems? You're never going to have any dark days? You know what? I just know that my path, I'm expecting better days. I'm expecting it to get better and better until he comes. And I realize that you may have some disappointments, but what a sad life to live with low expectations. No, how much happier and more joyful, faith-filled, to expect that things are just going to get better. Listen, we're not dependent on the world. If you're dependent on the world, things are going to go from bad to worse. If you're dependent on God, you can expect that things can get better and better. I'm expecting the goodness of the Lord. Nothing good ever happens to me. Well, your expector is broke. The Lord is good. Over and over, the scripture tells us the Lord is good. So who are you looking to if you're not expecting good? Well, see, the truth is that both in this world and in the religious culture of the day, God's goodness is being called into question, but not in my mind, in my heart. I know that he is absolutely good, that he is perfect in all his ways. There's no darkness in him, no shadow of turning. And so I'm expecting good, goodness. David said, surely, not maybe, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Proverbs 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know what? David's had some real bad days. And there were times when his soul was disquieted within him. Times when he struggled. But over and over and over again, he turns back to the goodness of God, the blessings of the Lord. He puts his hope in God, and he says things like, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Is goodness following you or trouble? Some of it might have something to do with your expecting. You know what? If you expect trouble, you certainly find it. It's amazing. And I'm telling you that if you expect the goodness of the Lord, you will find it. You know how I know that? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you believe that? I do, but listen, the scripture tells me, Psalm 33:5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I'm expecting goodness. Every day I'm going to expect the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to expect things to turn out good. Is there any problems? You're going to have trouble in this world, Jesus said. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, I'm expecting that it's all going to work out for my good. Oh, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. Did you know it can work out for your good? God is that big. We need to expect. Jeremiah 29:11 is, in the NIV, it has become such a popular, well-known, often quoted verse. It's, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, his plans for you are good. He doesn't intend harm for you. No, he intends good for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. In the King James, it says, the thoughts that I think towards you. And I always like to clarify this. Listen, God's thoughts are his plans, because he's not like us. He doesn't daydream. He doesn't have idle thoughts that are going nowhere. He's God. If he thinks it, they're plans. You know, he doesn't think of stuff and then go, well, I don't know if that'll work. He's not like us. We're created in his image. Listen, but he's not like us. His ways, his thoughts are higher than ours. We can't even begin to understand and to know all the things that he knows. Some of you think, why don't God tell me? Listen, it would blow your mind if he told you everything. Moving along. I'm believing, I'm expecting, as a child of God, that he wants the best for me and his plan is good. I'm expecting better than I deserve. David said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What's following you? A lot of people are wanting what they deserve. I deserve. I've earned. It's owed me. It's due me. I deserve. I don't deserve. I know what I deserve. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. He's merciful. And his mercy is new every morning. See, the devil will use this on you. He will turn it around on you and he'll say, how can you expect that? You don't deserve that. No, I don't. Mercy is following me. I'm not expecting on the basis of my merit. You can't even be saved by your own works. It's by grace, undeserved favor. Favor from God. I'm expecting God's favor on my life. Unearned, undeserved favor. I'm expecting mercy. I earned this. I deserve that. No, 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 no. You know, the Bible says be completely humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And you see, when we are expecting not what we deserve in our pride, but we are expecting God's goodness and His mercy in spite of us. Oh, what a wonderful thing to serve such a God and to know that He loves us that way. And I'm just telling you that so many people are missing out on so much of what God has for them because they're not expecting mercy. Mercy. I'm expecting mercy. I'm expecting Him to answer my prayers. A few weeks ago, we went through Psalms chapter 5, a message about prayer. And I want to look at verse 3. It says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and will look up." And I will look up. And I believe that in part He is just saying that I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm not going to look anywhere else. But in the NIV, it gives us a little bit different light there. It says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." And you know, that really is so right, because when we, as Isaiah 40 says, when we wait on the Lord, we're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. That's not what it means. No, we are waiting in expectation. As I said earlier in the message, we expect God to answer our prayers. We pray, as Jesus said, and believe that we receive. So we pray with an expectation that God really does answer my prayer. See, if we're not expecting God to answer our prayer, first of all, we're wasting our time. Second of all, though, maybe we need to change the way we're praying. Instead of just praying what we want, we pray what He wants. We pray, "Your will be done. Not my will, but Your will be done." And 1 John chapter 5 tells us that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us and we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So I'm expecting that He's going to answer my prayer, because I'm going to pray according to the will of God. And so often, His will is made clear to us in His Word. So I'm expecting Him to answer my prayer. I'm expecting a harvest. Are you expecting a harvest? Galatians 6, 9, in the NIV it says it this way, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Some people, let me tell you, they don't plant much seed because they don't really expect a harvest. I mean, if they did, they would sow a lot of seed. Absolutely. If you really expect a harvest, then who wouldn't sow? But like the silly story I read at the beginning, a lot of people don't sow much because they don't really expect anything. And in case you're wondering, we sow doing good. That's the example He actually gives us here in this passage. Don't be weary in doing good, especially to those of the household of faith. But we understand from the Scripture and things that Jesus said, "He that sows sparingly will also reap sparingly," that this also applies to our giving. And it also applies, listen, to how we love our family and how we treat our neighbor and how we do business. You see, there's so many ways that we sow good seed. We sow to the Spirit, it says, not to the flesh. We're sowing to the Spirit. We're doing right. We're doing good. And we're sowing. Why? Because we are expecting a harvest. We believe that it does matter. We believe that the Scripture says very plainly, we're going to reap what we sowed. And if we just sowed a little bit, we're only going to reap a little bit. And if we sowed a whole lot, we're going to reap a whole lot. Well, that ain't been my experience. I'm telling you, get your expector fixed. Where you are back on track with the Word of God, standing on God's Word, expecting it to be true in your life. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'm telling you, there's the vast majority of the body of Christ is not involved in doing what God wants them to do personally, and right there is the reason. They think that it doesn't really matter. Their labor is in vain. It's no big deal. I worked and I served one time, and, you know, I didn't see any fruit, and this didn't happen, that didn't happen, and, you know, I just got tired and blah. I'm telling you, they need to have their expectation up. And I'm saying it. I'm believing. I am expecting many lives to be changed at this church. I am expecting to see this auditorium filled over and over again. I'm expecting it because we plant and we water and He gives the increase. Expect a harvest. I'm expecting victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. The Apostle Paul was a man who had his focus on eternal things. And he called the hardships of this life light, temporary, because he was focused on eternal things. In Philippians chapter 1, he's talking about how that there are those who preach Christ for the wrong reasons. And he says, what then? Only, verse 18, that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Here's a guy that is always rejoicing, isn't he? For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to the earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know what? He said, it doesn't matter if I live or die. He had an earnest expectation. You see, he believed that God would be glorified in his life, whether he lived or died. He believed that he was going to win no matter how it looked, no matter what happened, that he was going to come out in victory. That was his earnest expectation. My expectation is victory. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. See, you need to know that. You need to have that attitude every day. And I hope you understand that don't let this drift over into some braggadocious arrogance where you're spouting off how that, you know, you win because you're better than everybody else. That's not what we're talking about. No, we're talking about expecting what God's Word says to be true in our life. That this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That we overcome because Jesus overcame. We're expecting victory because what we see in the Word always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'm expecting victory. How about you? I'm done. Stand with me and we're going to pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be down and out and discouraged and hopeless. But you have called us, Lord, to live this abundant life. Lord, a life of faith. Lord, a life of seeing you move and work in our lives and the world around us. And Father, we are expecting great things in the days ahead. And Lord, we will not lower our expectations, but we're going to stand strong and be the light of the world. Lord, and the darker it gets, the brighter we're going to shine. We're going to keep our hope up. And Lord, we're going to bring glory and honor to you. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless you.